And you are?
Alucard. Dr. Alucard.
Hey, Tom!
Gee, hey, Jeff.
No, oh, I got you in the middle of taking a swig of
you
a beverage.
You did. I was sipping my thermal beverage.
You know why I asked you this? Because I believe that because you were drinking a beverage, you had no idea what time it is. Tom, guess what time it is.
Is it time for me to take another sip of my tea?
It could also be that. I'm not going to say that that's not the case. But you're an actual fool. Because
oh, shit.
Time for another episode of Tom! Jeff watch Batman.
I knew it. I knew I was wrong. As soon as we started the conversation, I was like, I feel foolish. And then lo and behold, I was the fool here. So thank you for the foolest of all fools. Thank you for continuously exposing my foolishness.
It's helping me
grow into a better person eventually, I think.
No, we've been doing the show for almost 6 years.
Two and a half years of the show.
You have maintained your inconsistency.
I've clung to my ignorance. I'm pretty proud of that. It's very American of me.
You're like a Midwestern dad.
Hell yeah. I'm like a dad from Idaho.
Tom, we have a delight coming your way. Because of course we just wrapped up The Batman
season 1.
We're gonna do a two-parter today. We're gonna do the first half of The Batman versus Dracula. Tom, this is available for rent.
It's available for rent. It used to be on HBO Max before it became Max.
It used to be on. I'm surprised it wasn't on Tubi.
It's almost a 20-year-old made for DVD animated movie. Why are we ransoming this? Anyway, you can rent it.
From a show people don't care about.
Right. Which they should, because it's a good show. But anyway, yes. this movie is rentable from a few different platforms. Use your, I guess, moral judgment on where you rent it from.
We did have a conversation because I was like, it took me literally like 45 minutes to find a way to rent this.
It's on Amazon. How okay you are with giving Amazon $4.
It's on Amazon and Apple, which I also don't use. Like, I don't have like an ID with a pay structure on there. So I had to I finally was like, all right, I guess I'm using Voodoo through Fandango. I'm one of the few people giving Fandango money.
I tried to keep up my Voodoo account because that was before Movies Anywhere or whatever would give you just like random iTunes codes. They would give you a code for like a Voodoo digital copy. So I diligently and in good faith kept up my Voodoo account for like 10 years and they kept fucking changing it and changing servers and shit. So I finally abandoned it.
It's just on my Roku. It's just on Roku. So I was like, all right. Now, this is one of those ones because it's behind a form of a paywall, much like this show. I cannot tell you that you should see it, although this movie is
you should buy it
weird.
You should buy a copy of this movie if you like Batman and weirdness and the Batman. You should buy this movie because fucking rules.
Yeah, go on eBay and pay 99 cents for the DVD copy of it.
Yes, you'll be fine. It's great. It's great.
Which
it's
I've had movie. I had a DVD copy of this and I got rid of
son of a bitch,
and I never watched it. Some information about this was released on my birthday in 2005 on DVD.
When is that again?
October 18th.
Ooh.
So it was my 24th birthday that we released this, that this was released. Now, this is weirdly disconnected from the show while being the show, if that makes sense.
It's very clearly like a side quest, but it still takes place in the show's universe, but it is...
There are suspiciously missing people.
There's a lot of missing people. There's no
none of the police. None of the police.
None of the cop characters.
Are there. No cop characters. All police are generic and homicidal, by the way.
They have guns instead of... I mean, this movie does the thing that a lot of the animated movies do, which bothers me most of the time, but I was okay with it here because it's a Dracula movie. But it gets a little rougher. It gets like a little harder edged because it's a movie and not a TV show.
Next episode, we're going to talk about a color correction choice that was clearly a part where some censors were like,
oh, yes, it made that scene made me physically ill. So yes. I'm glad they did the color correction because it would have made me ill.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yes. And we'll get to that next week.
Yes, but we will. Now,
so we start out the title sequence is Batman. And it starts with Batman with the Gotham skyline in dark blue within the letters, and then Dracula with like an old ass Castlevania castle in the background.
It is literally Castlevania.
Is it? Yeah.
In the flash, well, maybe not there, but I know in the flashback scene that they show when like one of them, I think it's Alfred, we'll get to it, when they're dispensing the background lore of Dracula, they show Dracula's castle and it is straight up Castlevania.
Yeah.
Like I think with Jeff Masuda is
Jeff Masuda, yeah.
I think he or somebody on the production staff is pretty clearly a Castlevania fan. It felt like an Easter egg.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that. Yeah. I'm sure the background, I have a friend who literally that's his job is to do the background art of Warner Brothers animation.
Why wouldn't you just draw fucking Castlevania in that sense? You would just draw.
Well, the amount of research that he told me, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but like the amount of work it took to do Wayne Manor in The Dark Knight Returns, because they're the closest thing you get is one tiny silhouette drawn by Frank Miller in the entire run. And they had to create a whole Wayne Manor off of this one like tiny thumbnail drawing of Wayne Manor. Oof. Really interesting. So
yeah, they do a lot of stuff that we don't give them credit for in these adaptations. We nitpick a lot, but anyway.
Yeah. An uncolored, grayish, rainy night, dark and stormy, if you will.
It's a regular ass night.
It's a dark, dark and stormy night. It was a dark and stormy night.
I almost called you Dave.
It's close. Very close. We live very close to each other, so you're not wrong.
And you're the only two people I talk to. Continue. I'm sorry.
Fair. At Arkham, we see there's a bingo game happening. And basically, there's this other guy who's like basically a career criminal that lied about being insane to go to Arkham. And he's telling Penguin that there's basically a large amount of money, which we find out that money is like doubloons, hidden in Gotham Cemetery.
It's in like a pirate treasure.
Yeah, in a crypt behind a tombstone with a cross. And he's like telling the Penguin, like, hey, I'll split it with you if you get me out of here. And he's like, I did mention this other guy, but I don't think he cared. And Penguin's like, heard you tell. And he's like, yeah, this guy was a lunatic. He's like, right, well, pretty much everyone here. But
right, he keeps like badgering this dude to give him more and more clues. And each clue is obviously Joker.
Yes.
So it's like, Penguin, why are you doing this to yourself? You know who it is.
Yeah. And he's like, he's the only guy who's escaped here more than you. And then all of a sudden,
Joker walks in and out of this place, man. Yeah. Come on.
He's got a key card here.
He really does. He's like a fucking employee.
Hey, I'm going to go for a walk. Is that cool?
I am going to clock out tonight at 5. Sure, Joker. See you.
Best of luck. An alarm sounds and a guard yells that the Joker escaped. And the inmates are like, really rejoicing, including I believe it's Arnold Wesker, the ventriloquist is there,
yeah,
without his dummy. And also weirdly Sloth got put in there.
I don't remember.
Did you notice
Sloth?
They just drew Sloth from the Goonies?
Oh no, well yes, they added a sloth.
And it was like one of those things where you can't avoid admitting that that is Sloth.
That was weird. They also, I think it's Calendar Man is there too. There's a guy
sure
with a bunch
is,
of numbers.
He's
on
got
it.
Just numbers written on his gown. Penguin uses this opportunity of confusion to beat the absolute living piss out of a guard. Like he beats this man.
Oh, he does. I mean, he gives Batman a run for this. So no Arkham guard is going to be a match for Oswald. But I love the way he does it because he just goes like, "There's Joker," and the guy's like, "What? Where?" It's like. It's both like the most obvious prank, but also Joker is loose in this scenario. So you can't not look when somebody says there's the Joker. You can't win.
I would have shot the Penguin, then turned around.
That's the only way to win.
The only way to win the game is shoot him in the face.
And also shoot Penguin in the face.
Also the Batwave is going off, but Batman's on a gargoyle doing Batman shit, so he takes off.
What he's doing? Yeah, he's not.
He's brooding.
He's just like waiting, and it's like, dude, this is like a massive breakout at Arkham. Where are you?
I mean, he gets the announcement and immediately heads out.
He does. Yeah,
but he is doing some fucking broody Batman shit while he's there.
Everyone has escaped by the time he gets there.
100%. It is like nightfall. It's just everybody, like Maxi Zeus is running around out there.
People that have no business.
Yeah.
People that got locked up in 1963.
Yeah. Yeah. some actually, yeah, like the cuckoo's nest people. Danny DeVito running around. The Penguin bumps into the Joker on the way to the graveyard, and they basically strike up a partnership deal. But Joker immediately is like, what do you say we shake on it? And he just shocks the shit out of Penguin for a while.
for some goddamn reason, Penguin's like, sure, I'll shake your hand. Dude, he's the Joker.
It's probably one of those things where he's like, the Joker couldn't have had time to get one of those buzzers already.
Man, he must just hide his shit like all over the city, like Rorschach. Oh, yeah, up his ass.
But this uncomfortable hunk of electric metal up my ass.
He's just done it so many times. He just has a sack of scar tissue in his anus.
So
like a duffel bag.
Ooh, it feels pretty good, actually. He shocks the Penguin for a while.
Yeah, forever.
Like it's the Penguin actually gets like pretty instant karma for what he did to that guard.
Oh, yeah. He electrocutes Penguin for so long that I thought he might be dead.
Yeah. 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 Something smells like ham.
And then he throws him in the river. Just disrespect.
And then as Penguin gets out of the river, he sees Penguin following Joker and he's like, not going to let you get away. Batman confronts Joker. The Joker just gambits some razor cards at him, but they just hit the cowl and fall in the cape and they just fall. We've never seen what those razor cards do when they hit Batman. The answer is nothing.
It cuts him a little bit in this episode.
That's with a slash. I'm talking about the throwing. They just hit it and then fall down.
Bad cards, man.
Yeah.
You need to talk to your manufacturer, Joker.
Yeah, you got to go back to whatever souvenir shop in Florida you got those things in. And
like MailChimp or whatever sticker manufacturer is building this for you.
Penguin reaches the graveyard. Turns out that it's a graveyard. Everything has a cross on it.
Everything. The fact that Penguin didn't realize that the guy was being intentionally vague. Like, it's behind a tombstone with a cross on it. Shit, man. That's like most of them.
That's like a bad hint in a Zelda game.
It's a terrible hint. It's a hint designed to let you know that you can't find this treasure without me. And Penguin still tries to find the treasure without this guy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Batman and the Joker are fighting, and the Joker's like going all in. The Joker seems a bit more homicidal than he normally is in this.
Yeah.
Really amped him up.
They cranked him up, which I don't like. It seems antithetical to what this specific Joker in this specific universe. It didn't feel right.
It's sort of like one of those things where in Mask of the Phantasm, the Joker never loses his characterization. They don't alter it. Even the part where like he's getting his ass kicked and he beats her with the fucking baloney. Like that's very funny. Like he's still a part of the bit, but this Joker, like they made him a bit more homicidal.
It's more of a, like, it's a bigger gradient. Like in Batman, the animated series, it's already kind of grim, right? And everybody's still their basic character from the comics. They just have a little bit of kid gloves on. Like Joker is still Joker. They have to tone him down a little bit. But this version of Joker in the Batman is like completely different. Like he's almost Bugs Bunny. Like he's just stealing things. He has wacky contraptions that he uses. He's way more funny and less sinister. He's still formidable, but he's not really murderous in the Batman. And then
he's
not
a planner the way they've done the Joker in other versions.
He's not as scary. And then in this movie, they made him scary, which was like, I get that's the impulse to do when you have, because that's the Joker. So when you have the freedom to do it, you want to amp him up. It just felt a little weird.
They adjusted his stats. Like they made him more physically imposing. And in doing so, they brought down his
more homicidal too.
Yeah, but only in this movie.
Right. That's what I was saying. It's only in this movie that I think it's why it's so glaring as opposed to the difference between like Batman, the animated series and Mask of the Phantasm, where it was Batman, the animated series is still pretty hard. It's just a little kid glovesy. This is much more slapstick. And then Joker in the movie is like the Joker.
Yeah. Also Mask of the Phantasm, the big PG-13 stuff is usually consequence based. Not motive, but
it's more thematic too.
Yeah. So Penguin thinks he has found it, and he thinks that it is a suspended, chained up coffin covered in cobwebs. And
Jeff,
I'm like, dude,
have you played Resident Evil? Have you played the Resident Evil?
Makes no sense.
Have you played the Resident Evil like remake of the first game?
No.
This is straight up a casket you find in Resident Evil Remake that is a seriously fearsome boss that you have to fight in the first act of the game. It's a a coffin suspended by chains. And like, Penguin's like, there must be money in there. It's like, Penguin, a demon is in there. Like, clearly a demon is in there.
But also, like, use your clues, man. That thing is covered in dust and cobwebs. In what? You'd see a fingerprint on there.
Right. If some mobsters filled that with gold, you'd see some fingerprints. Yeah.
Yeah. A two-bit hood isn't going to suspend that coffin to hide his money.
Like, in, like, religious glyphs and shit?
Yeah.
Like, what two-bit hood
you touch
from
it,
Chicago?
It starts speaking Latin at you.
Ah, like, this is fucking weird. Like, if Bugsy Malone shows up in the robes that Belloc wears in the end of Raiders, it's like, dude, this is not your standard
heist. This is not the place to be. Oswald, you gotta go.
He sticks around way too long in this obviously haunted crypt.
Well, so he goes to pry it open with the blade of his umbrella, which is also, like,
stupid.
You know, stupid. Like,
blades don't have tensile strength. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I don't know. You got to get something with a better fulcrum in this scenario.
You need a pry bar, not a blade. Yeah. Yeah.
And he,
fucking Penguin,
all he sees is a corpse and he's just like, there's a bunch of fucking dust and bones. And I'm like, you are hard as shit, dude. Like, to see, like, that dusty old corpse and be like, fucking waste of my time. That would haunt me for the rest of my life.
I did sort of expect him, based on his reaction to finding a dusty ass obvious vampire skeleton in that casket, I did expect him to try to fight Dracula when Dracula showed up. Because Penguin throws down. He doesn't give a fuck.
Penguin is a formidable fighter. Like,
normally,
we've
yes.
We've seen it. We've seen it. Oh, like, once Dracula gets his powers going.
When Dracula teleports in front of him, the fight leaves Penguin. Yes. Let me tell you.
So what happens is he cuts his hand on the blade of the umbrella, and a drop of blood, like, makes its way into the corpse's heart. And that's all it needs, really, is for that prophecy to come true or whatever.
We've seen Dracula before.
Yeah, Penguin is leaving. The corpse is, like, building itself up. And Penguin, weirdly, like, I don't know what this choice was. He, like, punches a hole in the wall. He
slashes through a tapestry because it's so dark down there that he thinks there's something behind it, but there's just a wall behind it.
Yeah. But the wall, like, explodes. It was weird. It does something where he's, like, shocked by it too. But then he turns around and the fucking Dracula rises up and Penguin's like, I got the hell out of here. And Dracula's like, yeah, you are leaving a scent trail of blood for me.
Oh yeah. They do this. The first time they do this, they do it a few more times. Is they go into Dracula vision where he can see, like, Oswald's entire circulatory system and his heart, and his heart's beating really fast.
Yeah.
When they show their Batman later, it's like
their hearts are massive. In this.
They are not proportionally sized.
Their hearts are proportionately like the size of a football in the body. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So during the Joker Batman fight, Joker swinging for the fences, he misses and falls, asks for Batman's help, and Batman's right about to help him, and then he sees the joy buzzer, and Batman pulls his hand back, and Joker just falls in the water. And he's like, as he's falling, he looks over at the joy buzzer. He's like, oh no, this isn't good. This is going to be pretty shitty.
It malfunctions. That's how Batman sees it. Like, the rain, because it's constantly raining in this opening sequence, which was great because this is in the mid-aughts when they just didn't give a shit about strobe lights. So if you have epilepsy or photosensitivity, the first 20 minutes of this movie are almost nonstop strobe lights. But anyway.
Joker falls in the water and he is fried by his own buzzers, and I'm literally wrote in the notes, holy shit, this is an intense scene. Like, it
it's
is intense.
The whole opening, like, I said I am a little like it's not quite the right tone for this show, although I understand the impulse to make Batman more mature when you have the option to do so. The opening sequence of this movie is, like, really dark. Not just the Joker stuff, the Joker stuff is really hard. Like, it's surprise, it is a Frank Miller Joker and Batman showdown, just about. Like, the dialogue is identical to a Frank Miller showdown. And then also the Penguin shit is dark as fuck because he's screwing around in Dracula's tomb.
Yeah, and they do cover a little, like, you can see what's edited, you know, what is changed from this. This movie is very much one where you can see where the script edits came in. You can see where the color edits came in. Mm-hmm. all of those kind of make sense. Like, it's not a problem. And also, like, I think this does, there are certain things in here, and I think the Joker's death scene adds a gravitas towards the show itself in a way where the Joker in this case wasn't doing anything out of context. Like, he wasn't out of line in this specific scenario, other than that he's just swinging real hard. But then when he dies, you're like, oh shit, like, here's the you don't see it on camera kind of stuff that would happen during the cartoon.
Right. We've not seen in this show, we've not seen Batman deal with somebody dying while he's crime fighting them.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that must happen constantly.
There have been no real consequences. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
outside of Bennett turning into Clayface, but that was like ancillary because that Joker kidnapped him and turned him into Clayface.
And that was a long fault. That was a long plot point.
That's true, yeah.
As opposed to like, yep, Joker's in Arkham again.
We're the fucking Joker.
It's like, here's some fucking shit. Anyway, so Penguin's being chased by what he can only establish as the devil at this point in time.
It's a monster. It's a clear monster. You would run from this fucking...
Yeah. he's following him through the cemetery, following the blood trail. First, Dracula finds a night watchman and is like, well, I gotta...
I'm gotta eat this guy. Not Penguin for some reason, but I'm going to eat this guy.
Basically, this man is a Stan Lee cameo. Like, this man is 1,000 years old.
He is. He's the oldest night watchman at a cemetery ever. He's a ghost. He's haunting the cemetery. He's one of its residents, Jeff.
Yeah, this was a literal stay of execution by Dracula. This man was about to die of natural causes at work. So like, he drains his blood. Penguin is continuing to run, but then all of a sudden just Dracula's just right in front of him. And so he's like, looks like I'm the main course. I do like that the Penguin actually reacts to this, is like, this is fucking weird, but I guess I gotta go with it.
Right. He know, yeah.
I mean, because what we find out is like everything else the Penguin does for the next hour is going to be hypnosis.
Yes, he does become the Dracula's thrall, and it's because he's hypnotized, but he has a few moments of fun self-awareness where he's like, man, this guy's gonna fucking kill me. And then he goes like, man, I just need to unwet my pants when Dracula says I'm undead.
Yes, because when he sees the watchman become a vampire, he's like, I feel like dead men can't really do that. And Dracula's just like, he's undead. And he goes, I think I need to unwet my pants.
Yeah.
And that is a pre-hypnosis thing. I actually really like the hypnosis because all it does is it changes Oswald's like
focus.
Like, yeah, like raison d'etre or whatever, but it still keeps him as himself.
Right. He's still like, I had this written down in my notes, picking him as Dracula's toady is perfect, right? Because as we talked about a lot on this show, like Penguin's, the unifying trait between all versions of him is that he's a grasper. He's a climber. Yeah. He's a guy that's wants to be considered high society, but just isn't. So like the fact that he's going to be Dracula's little toady is like, oh, that's perfect for him.
Dream job.
Yeah.
He is immediately hypnotized, becoming his servant. I need you to guard my coffin at night or during the day. And also he asks him to be a tour guide of Gotham.
Yeah. Show me around. Show me some stuff.
Yeah. Cause we'll talk about that in a second too. Cause then it cuts to Bruce brooding in the cave, quote, more so than usual, as Alfred said. And he's like, Joker's dead. And he goes, what about our friend Cobblepot? And I'm like, is Alfred concerned that he didn't get to kill Oswald? Like, is that his major concern? Or does he want him dead? What about Oswald? Is he dead too?
Right. Is he downstairs? May I slash his throat?
Yes. Do you have him tied up in the basement? Hold on. Let me get my Steeler's Wheel albums.
Let Papa Alfred grind thumbtacks into his knees.
Hold on, I need to get 2 16-penny nits.
Jesus.
He goes, Penguin's trail went completely cold. And I'm like, Alfred's gonna be so pissed if he doesn't get to kill Oswald.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so cut to Dracula and Penguin. He's like, my Transylvania has changed a bit. And he's like, actually you're in Gotham. And he's like, ah, so I have been moved. But see, he just like basically states, he's like, well, I haven't really had much agency in the past few centuries, so I've
I like that he knew Gotham, like he had studied enough maps. It's an, yeah, it's I like, think ah, he, I've moved. Like, do you?
Well, he refers to it as the new world at one point in time. Like, he does say that.
Right.
At one
so point. He knows he's crossed the ocean.
Yes. So he's like, we see like a flashback scene where we basically see Van Helsing marching upon. We see the hammer through the stake finally destroyed. However, you know, the leader knows that he has merely incapacitated him and paralyzed him in a death-like state, which is interesting. They, even the undead, like the, they kind of rewrite vampire lore, or they use lore differently where it's like, even their deaths are not full deaths and there are different levels to the deaths.
Yeah.
We're going to find out like there's, you see, they're only mostly dead.
It's only mostly dead.
Yeah. I need to find Billy Crystal.
He will bring my long lost love back to life. Yes.
Yes. I see. This pile of dust.
Find,
is only
William, find Wilhelm Crystal.
Wilhelm Crystal. So like he knows that like basically piercing the heart is only sort of like death paralysis kind of a thing. So he basically arranges the body to be transferred out of Transylvania, buried in America on land that would eventually become Gotham. Now take me on the tour of Gotham, native guys. The night is young and I still thirst. Now we're going to get Vicky Vale. Have we seen her in the show?
No, I don't think so.
No. Smoke show.
Yeah, obviously. Absolute, she's Vicky Vale.
Absolute smoke show. She and Bruce have an interview and he's talking about his alternative energy and all that shit. And she's like, amazing. And he's like, well, you know, we have a commitment to that. And she's like, no, that it's amazing that you've been here for 40 minutes and you haven't left. And he's like,
right. She lets it. We basically learn that they've had like a number of interviews scheduled. Four false starts.
Yeah.
Fucking blown right through.
Yep. And she's kind of like, oh, it's kind of interesting how like my time isn't important. Like, yep. she's weirdly patient, but also she's not going to not call him out.
Yeah. She seems to think or is, I don't know if she actually suspects it or if she's just throwing it out there because she wants to test the water and see if he's actually interested in her, because we find out very quickly that she is interested in him. Where she's like, is there some reason you keep, like, is this something you don't want to talk about? Is that why you keep blowing me up?
Yeah.
But again, it's, we don't know how, it might just be that she's throwing that out there to be like, all right, you picking up the vibes that I'm throwing down?
Yeah. And she's very horny for him.
Yes.
And we're going to find out. Because he asks where her cameraman is and she's like, oh, I gave him the day off. And then they just start flirting their fucking face.
Bruce is ruthlessly horny for Vicky. Yeah.
Right, but he's also like, but I'm so sad.
Ooh, but I'm sad, and I'm the Batman. And then Alfred's like, you must fuck this young woman, Bruce. Yeah.
How can I be loved when I listen to The Cure so much?
You can do both, Master Bruce.
You can burn this lovely young lady to your heart's content, or if you're not interested in
it, I shall videotape it.
Yeah, perhaps I could sit in the cock chair.
In the corner, you see, your old Thomas Wayne's chair.
Oh, the old TW chair. She's like, what's a beautiful view? And then he looks out and sees the sun going down and is like, he's like, would you believe I gotta go? Which he doesn't, by the way. He just
really
like,
doesn't.
It's
there's
starting
not
to get slightly dark.
It's just the sun is beginning to set. Like, he
does crime happen as soon as the sun goes down, Bruce?
Do crime waves explode at 6 p.m., Bruce? You can fucking finish your dinner. Like, in most comics, Batman doesn't go out until like 11 at least, right?
This is a good point too, which also shows to the like kind of unhinged energy that Bruce has, where he's so committed to like, the sun's down, it's Batman time.
It's time to be Batman.
Where he's just like,
Bruce so much, Jeff. He
fucking
hates it.
He's like, I can't stand this fine ass woman trying to fuck.
Right. He has a gorgeous Vicky Vale who is just falling over herself trying to get a moment of his time. And he's like, I gotta go be Batman.
I gotta go beat up a dude.
I gotta go punch somebody who's breaking the law.
I gotta find a kid stealing hubcaps and get him killed in 2 years.
I'm definitely gonna do that. You think it's like weirdly specific, like a joke, but that's like a thing that's gonna specifically happen to me, Batman.
It absolutely happens. She's like, great way to play it cool, Vicky. He's like, no. I liked the horny energy.
I was picking up the horniness. I was receding it.
It is funny because he's trying to be a person. He's just bad at it.
He's terrible at it. Yeah.
I do recognize that you're horny. It's just that is an emotion that isn't rage or sadness. So I don't know how to.
It's too complicated for Bruce. Yeah. If it's not rage or sadness, it is too complicated. That has borne true through everything we've watched.
100%. He's like, oh, I got to prep for this energy expo at my house. I'm like, all right.
Memorizing lines, Bruce.
Yeah. he invites her to come as his date. And at home, Alfred is watching the news about missing people, which are going to start being called the lost ones.
Yeah.
Because this is an HBO original series, apparently. Bruce is like, I also don't understand it. And Alfred's like, do you think the Penguin did it? And he's like, we would know. There would be ransom demands. And also, this is not what the Penguin does. Spoiler alert, the Penguin doesn't do it. Long term, he's still going to pay for it.
I love that Alfred is still like, you think it could be Penguin? Because he hates him so much.
Yeah, he's just such a hard-on
fucking
for the Penguin.
Fucking hates him.
Could it be that rapscallion, the Penguin?
Perhaps you should shatter his kneecaps this time, yeah. Master Bruce.
Perhaps I could go on patrol.
And help you bus.
Fight some crime. Just blasts his face off.
He shoots the Predator with.
Yes, 100%. he's like, I invited her to the corporate dinner and also dinner on Saturday night for plot reasons. Batman goes.
It also shows that he's interested in her personally.
Yes. He's like, I'm a person. I don't believe.
I could be a person. I don't think you are, Master Bruce. I think that's bad news for everyone, in fact.
I think nobody involved is going to enjoy this scenario. This courtship is going to leave everybody worse off than when they entered. As Batman is patrolling, we see a woman get robbed, and then the crook is stopped by a night watchman that's a vampire, which I think is really funny.
Yeah,
that he's like, I'm not going to not work. He'll believe in justice just because I'm undead. But then the vampire eats the dude and the woman.
I love that Batman can't tell it's not a normal police stop after, like, he sees the cop tangle with the mugger, and then the mugger is just completely prone on the ground, like, seems to be unconscious. He's actually dead.
That's crime fighting, but he's undead.
But like Bruce is just like, well, that's what it looks like when I stop purse snatches. So maybe
100%.
It's just police work to him. It's like normally they don't beat the people into unconsciousness before speaking to the victim.
Yeah.
he didn't even handcuff the guy. And Bruce is like, well, I guess this is a like Bruce almost leaves because he's like, this is a
he's
normal
on his
stop.
Way out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he sees that the Night Watchman is a vampire because he hears the woman scream again. Batman beats this guy so much that it fucks his gloves up.
Right. He is wailing on this. Like, the vampire's not getting any shots in, but like, obviously Batman's, all the work he's doing is not like depleting his life bar either. So it's just
high stamina levels on this guy.
Yeah.
Batman basically now has to fight the crook, the woman, and everybody involved in this crime is now fighting Batman.
Right. They're all vampires.
And he's like, I have to get the fuck out of here. And they almost kill him by holding him down on the train tracks while a train is coming. But he grapnels his way onto a passing train, just misses, gets on the other train to check on them. And they're missing. They're gone. Dracula.
Can't take
now,
your eyes off of vampires, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Dracula, who now looks pretty much like Ra's al Ghul at this point in time.
He's even got the mutton chops.
Yeah, they really go for it on there. Because he's fed on a few people. He's kind of stoked that someone's dressed as a bat. Like, he loves that Batman exists.
He's super into the fact that, like, Batman, he immediately identifies Batman as, like, a super fan of his. And it's like, I must get to know this Batman.
Yeah, we took this photo of Dracula before and after we told him that a man dresses as a bat. Look at the difference. He is like, it's like he just got told he was beautiful. He's like, well, I'm very flattered. I cannot believe that I've had such a legacy that has been quite influential.
Another man who dresses in bit pajamas because of me. That is very flattering.
A man harms people while in a costume that is vaguely like mine.
Flattering.
So Bruce is back with Alfred and he's like, hey, man, I fucked with some vampires today. And Alfred's like, poppycock.
There's probably not vampires. And Bruce is like, no, they were absolutely vampires.
You have some stuff to do with Vicky Vale. And Bruce is like, I cannot stress enough that I messed with vampires today. You absolute fool. No reason to not believe him, Alfred.
Right. Like, Alfred is so focused on, like, but you could get laid tonight, Master Bruce. Yeah.
You could get some of that sweet, sweet strange, Master Bruce. You could even hit it and quit it for all I care. Just please get that dick wet, Master Bruce.
He's so focused on getting Bruce laid that he's just like, fuck the vampires, Master Bruce.
That's his version of crime, is getting that done. Where Bruce is obsessed with crime, Alfred is obsessed with Bruce getting fucked. Penguin then wakes up Dracula, who now just looks like a regular asshole. He's like, and he wakes up all the... Basically, he's like, I'm going to turn Gotham into a city of vampires with me as their king. And he's like, if you want to do that, if you want to beat the top of high society, you have to, like, defeat Bruce Wayne or something. Which I'm like, I don't think that's how this works.
Right. Oswald. He just really throws Bruce Wayne's name out there because he doesn't like him, I think. Remember the first episode where he had all that beef with Alfred?
Oh, I remember it.
We remember the beef between the Pennyworths and the Gobblepots.
Come into my place, will you? Takes out a revolver. So, cut to the party, and Dracula just mists his ass into the party.
He apparently doesn't need to be invited inside, which was really surprising.
Now, in my research, somebody had said, well, it's like a public gathering because it's an expo, and it's like they seem to be checking people's invitations at the door.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he turns into mist, is to get past the doorman.
I feel like that shouldn't be right.
No, they really, like that's like, that one really, I flagged that one a lot because, like we said, they playing around with vampire lore, obviously, but that's a big one for Dracula and for vampires in general, is you have to be invited in.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, I mean, but also...
It's not like it would have been that hard to find a way around it either. It's just weird that they glossed over it totally.
Yeah, they fucked with stake to the heart too. Like,
that's true, yeah.
You know, there's no full rules, I guess. We can do whatever, you know.
Sure, it's a made-up creature. Like, it's whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, I think that's like kind of the crux of Interview with the Vampire, right? Is just like, rules are whatever, man. I don't care about a fucking cross.
It's true, yeah, I forgot about that.
Bruce meets Dracula under the name of Dr. Alucard.
Right, I have that written down. If somebody came up to you and told you, yes, my name is Dr. Alucard, your first response would be, so your name is Dracula backwards?
Yeah, Alucard, I mean, really, since Castlevania 3?
Symphony of the Night.
Like, they've been like, yeah, Alucard, it's Dracula backwards. We all know that. It's like, dude, just say a different name. Why do you have to be cute
Dr. with it? Dr. Smith, like, what the fuck are you doing? Dr. Tchaikovsky, why are you saying Alucard?
In fucking Belarus or wherever.
What are you doing, Romania, man? Just give yourself a generic last name, you fucking idiot.
Also, they never say Romania, but Vicky Vale just guesses Budapest.
She does,
Very funny. She's like, you're fucking Romanian. I can smell the cologne from here. Dracula is like, I love your necklace. It is truly magnificent. She's like, it's a family heirloom. They never go back to that.
Nope.
That's a real red herring.
Thought that was going to be like some sort of like, you know, like Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Coppola movie, where it's like, oh, it's used my long lost love from oceans of time.
Yeah. Nope. Or she's like he was Van Helsing or something like that.
It was just a pickup line. It was just a pickup line.
I sure would like to steal your soul.
Did it hurt? What's that? Did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
When you rose from the beauty of hell?
Yes, when you climbed up, when you punched your way through the earth's crust out of hell.
We're all beautiful creatures.
Did it shatter your knuckles?
Anyway. She's like, I feel like we're having like a cultural disconnect here. She's like, and he's like, I'm here to study your city's Batman. is a form of cultural anthropology. She's like, I couldn't help but you notice you said our city's Batman. Do you have like a Budapest Batman? And he's like, well, there are instances of a man who assumes the likeness of a bit in societies ancient as well as modern. And I believe that while instilling fear by night, these beings cloak themselves as normal members of society. Show your whole fucking hand, Dracula.
Looking real hard at Bruce while he says that. But yeah. Also, it's at this point we should mention that Dracula is voiced by Peter Stormare.
He 100% is voiced by Peter Stormare. He's... Which, man, the grip that this man had on offshoot DC properties in the mid-2000s.
He really did, dude. He made a lot of money off that, I hope.
He played Dracula and the Devil, both for DC.
Sure did, both in 2005.
They're just like, we need somebody who is the full personification of evil. Peter Stormare's like, I couldn't help but notice you were asking about the personification of evil.
I am Swedish, but I can play anything.
I can play evil.
I can play evil Eastern Europe.
I'm Evish. So
Evish.
God, he's so good in American Gods too. Anyway, Bruce is just like, all right, well, we're gonna walk away now. And he just takes, and they just start like kind of talking shit about how he's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, it's how weird he is. Yeah,
his ass is right in front of them again, and he's like, I need to blow up my own spot real quick.
Yes, continuing our conversation, it's like, Jesus, dude, take a hint.
Read the room. They just called you a fucking weirdo. He goes, we spoke of my work. What of yours? And Bruce is like, research and development. And then he goes on to explain the SL5, also known as Chekhov's son. The SL5 is the most efficient technology for collecting solar energy and storing it, quote, as true sunlight.
I missed the Chekhov's son part.
There is one reason.
Spoilers.
Batman's one reason use that this. You would have a sun gun.
And call it Chekhov's son.
No, I called it that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they didn't call it Chekhov's son. If they did, I'd be like, I'm out.
I was losing my mind. I thought they had.
No, I called
it. Slid that in so effortlessly.
in my thing, I'm just like, yes, Chekhov's son.
Chekhov's son. It really is that.
It so is, because like I cannot fathom, and maybe it's because I'm a fucking moron, which is true. Mm-hmm. I do not purport not to be the dumbest boy you've ever met in the world. However, this idea that you would need to create, you'd harness solar energy to then redistribute it as true sunlight. What is that for? Is it for like vegetation in the winter?
He's using it on his, I don't know, man. He uses it to test his like anti-vampire tool, but he already had it. I don't know. I don't know why you'd have this.
Yes. Yes. A thing you would never have Wayne Industries create. You would never create an anti-vampire device.
Vampire vaccine.
Like, that's not a thing you would do.
It just shows up on the fucking report in Q2. I'm like, wait, what is this?
Isn't the point of harnessing solar energy the energy aspect of it? So like, taking solar energy to like store it and then redistribute it as sunlight, the only thing I could think of would be like greenhouse reasons.
You're right, solar grids. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like literally like you would have to harness the sun and then redistribute it in areas where you need to grow stuff in the winter or something like that. But even then, like
melt a bunch of snow. It'd probably be pretty sweet for like ski slopes.
It's designed to dust a vampire. That's literally what it's for.
Yeah.
And we can't hide that's what's going to happen. There's no like,
nope.
We're not gonna be like, and you'll never guess what's going to happen.
No, he's going to shoot him with his sunlight gun. That's like, what's going to happen.
Like, I laughed out loud when I saw that this was a thing that he's showing.
Yep.
Like, I was the like, sunlight man, gun. Couldn't have made this sweatier. He couldn't have been like, it's fueled by garlic and holy water.
I have a lot to say about the garlic.
They invest a lot of money in garlic.
They do. Let's move on.
Okay. A waiter comes by with a tray of beef tartare, which Dracula is like, fuck yeah.
He sucks it up like a fucking weirdo that makes everyone uncomfortable.
The animation that they did made me sick, Tom.
There's a few moments of this movie that made me physically ill. This is one of them. He's a real goblin.
It looks like he's sucking dog food into his mouth.
Yeah, it's hideous. Like it has the desired effect on Bruce and Vicky. They're like, this guy's fucking weird.
This guy's a fucking weird European. And he's like, you should try some. And she's like, I am
all set, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, I'll take one of these and put it in the toaster oven. Then a waitress comes by with a tray of garlic shrimp, and he might as well go shh when he sees it.
Like, no garlic. And Bruce is like, oh, you must try it. Like, Bruce seems to already suspect he's a vampire.
Bruce is picking up that this guy's a fucking weirdo.
And
that
he also fought
two vampires this morning.
That's
like,
true,
he is the world's greatest detective. So, no, much to Alfred's protests of the ability by which to acknowledge that vampires are real, Bruce knows what he fought. And now he's seeing Count Dr. Alucard, which you didn't even have to say doctor, man.
Yeah.
Doctor is the first two letters of Dracula.
Right. It's the only reason to do Dr. Acula. I mean, it's Dr. Acula. That's the,
yeah,
the Ed Wood joke.
The Scrubs joke, right, too?
It's, yeah. Yeah. It was an Ed Wood, but yeah.
So, yeah. And he's like, garlic shrimp. I am Jewish. Sorry, I cannot eat that.
I cannot eat shellfish. Oh, really, Dr. Alucard?
Also, the kind of fuck Bruce for having like a social gathering with like massively garlicky hors d'oeuvres. We've got the Limburger cheese fountain over there.
Well, also, like, he seems offended by his own menu, like the French tartare, and they're all like, ew, he's eating it like a weirdo. He is eating it like a weirdo, but also it is raw meat that you put on the menu.
Alfred is
king bitch during this scene, man.
Alfred is just a real piece of shit.
I'm glad you brought it up because I had forgotten. Alfred is treating the wait staff of this event like they're all fucking idiots. He's the worst taskmaster in this scene.
Oh, yeah. Like, Alfred is yelling at this dude Stipes for not doing his job properly. He's like, I'm the captain of serving here. He's like losing his fucking mind on this kid.
The captain of Master Wayne's serving team is never without hors d'oeuvres, or some shit like that.
Dracula immediately hypnotizes Bruce and is like, go outside. Bruce is like, excuse me, Vicky, I have to do something real quick. And he wanders over to the balcony where Dracula's like heading over to bite him. And just before he gets there, Alfred is like, sir, like, you must be in your party.
What are you doing out here?
Dracula's like, fuck this. And he's like, nope, I'm going to take off. And Bruce is snapped out of the trance.
And he tells Alfred that he feels like he's been hypnotized, right? Because he's like, I don't remember how I got out here.
Yeah. And
a big plot point is that they don't remember.
Yeah. There's a lot of what the hypnosis comes.
Amnesia.
So Alfred is just losing he lost his mind on this guy earlier. And then we see later that this kid Stipes is now in the wine cellar, probably getting high.
Yeah, he's going down to get some more shit and also probably to blaze one. And Dracula zooms down to the wine cellar out of frustration after he doesn't eat Bruce.
Yeah, he's like, his date didn't go well, so he's calling his ex.
Yeah, yeah.
You up?
You up?
He's like, well, if I can't have
1:15.
If I can't have Bruce Wayne, I'll have Stipes.
I'll have Dick Vane.
Bruce Vane.
Should I say it again? Bruce Vane.
Bruce Vane. I feel like you guys didn't hear me say that before.
He holds the platter up in front of the Bruce Vane mirror at the end of this episode. Yeah. We're gonna get there shortly.
So Alfred discovers Stipes again and goes hog wild on this poor man.
What he really does.
Is your problem?
If Alfred had a gun, he would have shot him.
Alfred is, and you are right, he is king bitch in this one. he is
such an asshole in this scene.
He is, oh man, just what a C word.
It's right. He is serving it, as it were.
He's serving
cunt. He is serving cunt, Jeff. It's just like, we're supposed to be on Alfred's side, I guess, but it's like, this is in mid-aughts and after like, 20 years of drowning under oligarchy in the Americas, it's hard to be like on the side of a guy who's just trying to make sure the part-time staff he's hired for one evening is following their arbitrary etiquette rules. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah,
he's bringing out shrimp. Eat shit, Alfred.
Like, this is a person, Alfred.
Yeah. You're ruining
the canapes.
You are paying him $6 to feed garlic shrimp to Dracula. Fuck you, Alfred.
He pays for it, Alfred.
He really does. He gets eaten by Dracula. The tables got turned on him.
Because, all of a sudden he turns around and sees that this is a vampire, and Alfred somehow avoids being attacked. Alfred just has character energy where he's like, well, I guess I'll survive, even though I absolutely should not.
His military service kicked in there, I guess.
He blasted Stipes in the face immediately.
He's just carrying a gun at all times.
Yeah, that revolver in case Oswald shows up.
So put one in his heart.
He calls it the Cobble Potter. The Cobble Stopper, he calls it.
The Cobble Shot.
Oh, man. So, meanwhile, Dracula is like, goodbye, Vicky. When might I see you again? And she's like, tomorrow. He's striking out so hard, by the way. Like, Dracula is just striking out.
He's so different
than what we see with Dracula.
He's flailing so bad that Bruce and Vicky don't even really acknowledge that he's hitting on her.
He's like a joke. No, they know he is, but
they know he is, but they don't acknowledge it.
No,
not to him anyway.
He's whiffing so hard.
He is
like this whole trip for him has been an embarrassment.
It would be like if a dude dressed like a vampire came up to you in a club and tried to hit on you, because it's like the reality of it. It's like, okay, he's got all this hair and all this cloaks and all this, like, he'd just be sweating through all this fabric and
He just smells like patchouli oil and sweat.
Really hot face.
Yeah.
He's all trying sweaty. To tell
Big
you
shiny all cheeks. I've crossed oceans of time for
oceans
you.
Oceans of time. His fingernails are too long.
He's got the sharp nails. Yeah.
He's got the coke nail. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, he's got a medallion. What a fucking loser.
He sucks. Like, Dracula's the worst.
This whole trip was like a net loss for Dracula.
Right. He just like sees how like Batman, who fucks all the time, like a modern version of him. And then him, who's like the creature of darkness that can't get the time of day unless he's hypnotizing. So he's like, God damn it.
He's like an adult at a high school party. And everyone's like, what's this fucking
he's just
jerk
a creepy
doing
weirdo
here?
And nobody likes him.
You want to go out sometime?
I am the cool dad. You may drink here. That's weird. It's weird that you're giving us alcohol.
Yeah. And also, you don't even live here.
Yeah, this is not even your house.
You showed up.
You live three doors down.
Yeah. Fucking wearing a tank top. Can of Bush in his hand.
I heard there was a party.
Don't worry, I won't call the cops. I'm cool.
I have crossed oceans of Magnolia Avenue to be with you.
I have drank oceans of Bush Light for you.
The good bush, the one in the camouflage cans, so you cannot see it when you're on hunting deals.
Ooh, do I have a beard? Who knows?
Can you see beard? No, you cannot.
But it is just so funny that this dude is like whiffing the entire time.
He sucks, Jeff.
It's like they saw that scene in Dracula where he meets Mina Harker and she like apologizes to him for being rude.
He seduces her. Unlike in this movie where he seduces no one. He
fucking
has no game.
Love. Why do you think we'll get into that next week? But yeah, it's like, you know what it is?
The
is it
major
somebody
part
who,
of
like,
Dracula's character, Jeff?
It's somebody who decided to reinvent himself in college and failed, and now he's like, I just want to go home.
Everybody called me Drac.
When might I see you again? She's like, tomorrow morning on the Gotham TV news.
Fucking shut down. And that's like getting 499-9999 as a number from a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I'm calling pizza delivery. I know this is what.
Bruce has we're gonna find out where, like, he fucking takes off as a bat. he just flies away, and Bruce sees the bat flying away, and Bruce is like, Alfred runs up and he's like, hey, there was a lack of reflection on Stipes.
A man that couldn't be seen in the mirror.
And then Bruce is like, wait, and he grabs some rich person's, some like lady guest's lipstick, grabs a silver serving tray, writes Alucard with some letters backwards.
He writes them with all the letters backwards. All the ones that can...
some of them are just symmetrical, so it doesn't matter.
Right, like all the ones that can be written backwards are written backwards. So he's already writing it to be reflected in a mirror. It's like, Bruce, you already know Alucard is Dracula backwards. You don't need the red rum moment.
It's seven letters. We can figure what seven letters is turned around.
But like I said, if somebody introduced themselves to you as Alucard at a party, the first thing you'd say would be, so your name is Dracula backwards?
It's Bacula. Scott Bacula. He's a vampire. So he holds it up to the mirror and it says Dracula. Big shock. Like, we haven't gotten every single hint up to now.
We know it's Dracula.
You fought vampires. Alfred
it's
just fought
called
one.
Called Batman versus Dracula.
A new count. A new count has shown up looking like the king of assholes, speaking in a thick European accent, trying to be suave and whiffing the entire time.
That shows up looking like the manager at the back end of the Spencer's Gifts.
He shivers at the word garlic, comes when he drinks bloody meat or when he eats bloody meat. Like, and then you're like, wait, it's Dracula.
He's Dracula?
And I also love that they accept that he's the famed Dracula instead of just like a vampire that like
goes
by it.
Who just said his name was Alucard. And who maybe
Tom,
knows some,
that's a soad.
That is a soad because he's encountered enemies that can hypnotize him before, Jeff. None of them have been vampires.
And none of them have certainly been Dracula.
Like, this guy could be the Mad Hatter. Like,
I've crossed oceans of
hibernations
for you.
Yeah. I've crossed oceans of creeping on my coworker to be with you.
That would be so funny if he just like fucking held it up and it just said something like Goofy. And he's like, I think that's
nothing.
Goofy.
It's nothing. It's like Mr. Mixel, whatever that, however you say it. Like,
yeah.
There it is.
I would love if it was just so wrong. He was he's like, I think that's the real Mickey Mouse.
It just, he holds it up and it says horse boner. Well, Master Wayne, maybe he was fucking with you, but that's clearly not a vampire name.
Dr. Rena Abisor. Wait, Alfred, wait.
Dr. I.P. Freely.
I am Dr. Madam, I'm Adam. Dr. Race Car.
It's a palindrome, Alfred.
You know, Dracula's not my pal.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That's the first half.
What an incredible
this
episode.
Like the full setup of this movie, and it is just delightful.
Very excited for the second episode.
It's Tom, if you think this has some silly shit, wait till next week. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I have cool friends and I have a show called Jeff Has Cool Friends, which you can get at patreon.com/JeffMay for early access to uncensored episodes with bonus content, as well as shows like Ugh Fine with Kim Kral and early access to Nerd with Dre Alvarez and myself, and maybe a couple of guests coming up next episode. Just saying.
No.
I know. You can also get all those shows but Ugh Fine for free wherever you get podcasts under the Jeff Has Cool Friends umbrella. You can also hear all the stuff I do with Adam Todd Brown on You Don't Even Like Podcasts. You Don't Even Like This Network. I don't know what we're calling these things. But you can check that out. We do You Don't Even Like This Show. You Don't Even Like Sports. You Don't Even Like Sports Cards, which also I open packs of trading cards every Wednesday at 2:00 Pacific. And that is going to be on my YouTube at Hey There Jeffro. Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month. And Beautiful Blast from the Past on Magnolia in Burbank, California. That's enough.
Yeah, you just got a write-up, didn't you?
Yeah, we were in the Burbank Leader celebrating our 8th anniversary. Quite a fantastic article, but it also gives me so much more credit than I deserve for it.
Oh, it's all the credit it's you like, deserve, man.
Yeah, but my co-producer Lisa Harden does so much more work, and because she doesn't hold a microphone, gets none of the credit. And that, I hate that aspect of it, where like she does so much work and doesn't get the accurate amount of credit. It's like power and glory. She's all the power, and I'm the glory, and I feel a little bit embarrassed about that, but it's great. Yeah, the article is on my social media, which is at Hey There Jeffro, the same as my YouTube.
Yeah, check it
out. Like, subscribe, comment, give reviews, do the things that are free. They're fucking free.
Yes.
Do those, and they help us so much.
Reviews and likes help so goddamn much. It's great.
Tiny millisecond processes of clicking buttons.
Don't even have to write anything. Just click some stars.
Just click a thing. Hit a share. Do a thing. Like, you have no clue how important that shit is. Why aren't you doing that?
You have so much power. You have so much power.
You have so much power in your fingers.
All right.
Just like the Joker with a buzzer.
Just like the Joker with his weird cards and his buzzer.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
I think I need to unwet my pants.
Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. You can find more of his artwork at instagram.com/mvbramleyart. Our episode artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at @JustinTBrown and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.